Thanks for joining us online at Highland Park Presbyterian Church. We're so glad you're here. On this podcast, you'll hear weekly teaching from God's Word, featuring messages from our incredible preaching staff and a variety of guest speakers. We hope the following message leaves you feeling encouraged and deepens your relationship with Christ. Enjoy the episode, and thanks for listening.
Well, good morning and Merry Christmas to you all. If I have not gotten the chance to meet you yet, my name is Bailey Ray. I get to work with our middle school and high school students here at HP Prez. And just as Steve mentioned earlier, we realize that this is all generations worship, which means we have a lot of kiddos in the audience. So wiggles and giggles are much appreciated. But if you feel like you need to take your kiddo out of the room, that is okay. We've got TVs going out in the Hunt lobby for you to continue with the service. In fact, I want to go ahead and get our kiddos involved, okay, kiddos of all ages, and I'm going to ask you this very simple question, and I want to hear from you on the count of three, okay? What was your favorite Christmas gift you received this year, okay? Even if it is not your all-time favorite, that's okay. Just what's the first thing that comes to mind on the count of three? Ready? One, two, three. Oh, okay. I only heard a couple of you say Jesus. That's okay. I'm just kidding. Okay, but it has been a wonderful Christmas celebration so far, and I do actually want to start out with some good news. Are you ready? Okay, in the church, we do not just celebrate Christmas on December 25th. No, we actually celebrate Christmas for 12 whole days, from December 25th all the way to January 6th. Okay, so for all of you kiddos who have been having fun, opening gifts, celebrating with one another, friends, the celebration is not over. In fact, we are only on day 4 of our Christmastide celebration. Okay, that should be good news. If you've been hosting friends or family, that might sound like a little bit of a nightmare. But this, as Christians, is our season to celebrate. You see, in the season of Advent, we are symbolically waiting with God's people in the past for the Messiah to arrive. And it's this season where we have to be patient, where we have to be hopeful, and even a little bit, we are called to ache for God to deliver his promise. But once we get to Christmas and we kick off the Christmastide season, this is our chance to celebrate the fact that God has indeed delivered. He has given us the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth, who is to redeem us. And so for the rest of 2025 and even for the first few days of 2026, we get to continue to celebrate. And we as a church, as we have been walking through the Advent season and now in this Christmastide season, we have been looking at promises of the Messiah in the book of Isaiah. Now, if you're unfamiliar, the book of Isaiah is a book chock full of prophecies. These are messages that God gives to his people through the prophet Isaiah. And when Isaiah was speaking these prophecies, this was a tumultuous period in Israel's history. You see, God's people, they were not obeying the laws that God had set out for them. The kings that God had raised up to lead his people were not leading them into the light, but further into the darkness. And not only was Israel being torn apart from within, but there were other nations outside that were seeking to tear them apart. So the message that God wants his people to hear is a dual declaration with judgment, because God does promise that he is going to punish his people for their unfaithfulness, but also this promise of hope, and specifically the hope of a Messiah, the Savior who is to come and who is to ultimately redeem his people from all their unrighteousness. So this morning, we are going to read a few verses from Isaiah chapter 61 and 62. I invite you to turn with me there. If you've got your Pew Bible with you, it may or may not be on page 738. But as we read this morning, I want you to keep in mind that this is a proclamation of victory. That what we are reading is a prophecy that the Messiah himself speaks, and that we as modern Christians get to hear this and we get to listen with joy because we are confident that this has come true. So will you read with me starting in Isaiah chapter 61, starting in verse 10. It says this, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all the nations." Amen. Will you join me in a word of prayer? God, we thank you for this opportunity that it is this morning to gather as your people and to be encouraged by your word. And as your people listened to this text hundreds of years ago, waiting for the Messiah to be delivered, God, would you give us joy today because we know that it has come true. And so in this season, would we celebrate, would we rejoice alongside the Messiah, knowing that he has come to save us. So speak to us by the power of your word this morning and through your Holy Spirit. And in all of these things, we trust you because we pray in your name. Amen. So friends, in this passage this morning, this is a proclamation of joy. This is a reason to celebrate. The Messiah himself is praising God, saying, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God." Why? Because he has clothed me with the garments of salvation, and he has covered me with the robe of righteousness. This is ultimately a metaphor. These are not physical clothes that the Messiah wears, but this is a metaphor for the Messiah's ability to save and deliver his people. In fact, when I read this and I think of the idea of achieving salvation for us, the first thing that comes to mind is maybe an imagery of war. In fact, if we were to flip back a couple of pages in Isaiah and read a verse out of Isaiah 59, verse 17, it does give us that kind of language. It says this in Isaiah 59, 17. "He put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on garments of vengeance for clothing and wrapped himself in zeal as a cloak." So you see, in Isaiah 59, there is this sense of war imagery that God in Jesus has won the battle that we cannot win for ourselves. But when we read in Isaiah 61, it's not an image of war, but it's an image of beauty. It is something to behold. It's something that we are called to look at in awe. And the Messiah goes on to describe what these garments of salvation looks like. In verse 10, he says, "As a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels." The Messiah himself likens these garments of salvation to what you might wear in a wedding. Now, I know I might look a little bit young to be married, but back in 2021, I got to marry my high school sweetheart, Sammy. And when we got married, we were together for almost 5 years, and we have enjoyed our years of marriage since. But we will both be the first to tell you, we had a great time at our wedding. It was a lot of fun. We are so thankful for everyone involved. But it was probably not the best day of our lives. Like, there were wardrobe mishaps. There were, let's just say, some interesting speeches. I may or may not have almost run over Sammy with our getaway car. That's a story for another day. But there is this portion in the wedding, and I think we have a picture of it right here. You have this portion of the wedding. When the bride and groom, when they are standing up front, and right, this is after the groom and officiant, they have walked down the aisle and no one really cares about them. And then the bridesmaids and the groomsmen, they walk down the aisle and stand on the sides. And then finally, you get this moment where the bride walks down the aisle and she is beautiful. I remember seeing Sammy on that day and she was wearing this beautiful dress, ornate and white, and her train was flowing all the way down. And by the time she reached me, we grabbed hands. And at that moment, all eyes were on us. That's what you go to a wedding for, right? It's not just the reception, it's the ceremony. It's that single place that you were gathered to look at the bride and groom and to see the product of love and the work of God being done in their lives. And it is that picture, that beautiful imagery of a bride and a groom that the Messiah says, this is what it looks like for me to wear the garments of salvation. It's like a bride wearing all of her jewels. I even like that the groom in this passage gets a little bit of an upgrade. He wears a headdress like a priest. What we are called to do as a result of this passage is to simply look and rejoice and gawk at what Jesus has done for us. Friends, we can look at Jesus wearing the garments of salvation and know that we are secure in that. As God's people waited for hundreds of years for a deliverer, we can be confident that Jesus, the only person in all of history who has been able to win salvation, has done it already. And the Messiah continues. He says, I will rejoice because I'm wearing these garments. But he also says something else I want you to notice. In verse 11, he says, for as the earth brings forth its sprouts and as a garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all the nations. He says, just as surely as you plant a seed in the ground and you water it, and most of the time, it will grow into this beautiful fruit. As God has created the natural order to do, to produce fruit from the ground, so we can be confident that God will produce righteousness within us. In fact, even when the Messiah talks about the garments of salvation, he doesn't say, I just wear these on my own. He says, no, they are a gift from God. He is so quick to point the finger back at God and say, this is why I rejoice, because God has given me these things and he will surely bring them to pass. So this is what we celebrate in this Christmas season. We celebrate that Jesus, the Messiah, who was born on this earth, who was born in a manger wrapped in swaddling cloths, this is the Messiah that wears the garments of salvation, who brings about deliverance for us as God's people, where once it was unthinkable for us to stand in the presence of God and be holy. It is now not only possible, but it is a present reality. And this is why we celebrate. But friends, the good news does not stop there. Because the Messiah doesn't just tell us what he has come to do. He also tells us, what that does within us. So will you join me in reading the last few verses of today's passage? This is Isaiah chapter 62, starting in verse 1. The Messiah says, for Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not be quiet until her righteousness goes forth as brightness and her salvation as a burning torch. The nations shall see your righteousness and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So the Messiah here says that not only will your salvation come true, but it will be known among all people. The salvation is more than just a renewal of our souls. It's a transformation of our entire identity. It's not just inside us. It is also outside of us, and it is proclaimed to the world. You see, if you came to a Christmas Eve service here, we lit candles. We turned off the lights, and we lit these candles as a beautiful representation that Jesus, the light of the world, has entered into time and space to push back the darkness. In fact, when John, the disciple John, describes Jesus at the beginning of his gospel, he says, he is the light of the world and the darkness cannot overcome it. But Jesus alone is not just the light of the world. The light is not just found in the Messiah. That light is now within us.
It is shining for all people to see, for all nations, for all kings, for all people. And not only will you shine brightly, but the Messiah says that God will give you a new name. Now, back in this time, your name was everything. Your name was a signifier of your worth, your value, of who you are as a person. And so we get these wonderful examples in Scripture where God even changes people's name to better reflect their identity. Okay, he changes Abram's name, which means exalted or lofty father, to Abraham, which means father of a multitude. Right? He also changes Jacob's name, who means deceiver or heel grabber. And he changes his name to Israel, which means wrestles with God or God prevails. And so the Messiah also promises that God will change our name. And if we were to keep reading in this passage, we would actually know what name God gives us. Are you ready for this? This is our name. Hephzibah. Sexy, right? Hephzibah. Okay, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to us, but when we translate this into the English language, here's what it means. This means my delight is in her. My delight is in her. This is the name that God gives us as his people, and it doesn't have anything to do with what we do, what we strive to be, or anything like that. This is simply knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that God delights in us. And if you are here this morning and you question, how does God view me? What does God think of me? Even despite all that I've done, know this, that God delights in you. And again, that is what we celebrate in this Christmas season. We celebrate that because of the work of Jesus to join us here on earth, to live a perfect life, to die on the cross and be raised again, because of Jesus the Messiah, we can be transformed and have a new name. In fact, I want you to go ahead and turn to your neighbor, and I want you to tell your neighbor, God delights in you. Do that now. God delights in you. Oh, how sweet. Okay, now I want you to do this. I want you to close your own eyes, and I want you to say this out loud. God delights in me. God does delight in you. Again, no matter what you've been through, no matter what you're walking through in this season or in seasons past, God delights in you. He loves you. Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah, because of the garments of salvation that he wears, we get to bask in the glory and the delight of God. In fact, at the end of this passage, this is what the Messiah says. He says, "You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God." Friends, you are a thing of beauty to behold. This is a picture for us that we are precious to God. We are kept safe in his hand. We are constantly near to him and within his gaze. God delights in you, and that is not just cheap talk. That is your identity, your name that God has given you. If we turn all the way to the end of Scripture, where we see this entire grand narrative come to a close, we see this beautiful picture in Revelation chapter 7, and I want to read just a couple verses of it for you. This is Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 10. This is John speaking, who sees this beautiful vision. And we, as God's people, we believe that this is in our future. This is going to come true. And here's what it says. It says, "After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" And what I want you to see in these verses is, what are God's people wearing at the end of time? They're wearing white, spotless robes. This is a symbol of the fact that we as God's people, because Jesus wears the garments of salvation, because our own deliverance has been bought for us, we get to stand in God's presence holy and blameless and wearing these white, shiny robes for all to see. There is not a spot or a blemish on us. And that's in our future. And so right now we get to celebrate the fact that we can be children of God, and we can look forward to that day when we are physically standing in God's presence, where we do not have to worry, where we will have no pain, where there will be no death, but instead we get to stand in God's glory. Friends, this is what we celebrate in the Christmas season. This is why we share gifts with one another. This is why we be generous. This is why we have a light that is supposed to shine before all people, because God has given himself for us and for all the other people on this earth. And so especially as we turn our eyes towards 2026, would this truth transform us? In fact, while everyone begins to think about, what am I going to do differently in 2026? What am I going to change about myself? How do I want to better myself? Maybe we as God's people can start with something different. Maybe we can start with this truth that we have already been transformed. Because Jesus wears the garments of salvation, we are already transformed. And now we are called simply to walk in that. We are called simply to, as Paul says in Colossians 3, put on things like kindness and humility and compassionate hearts, because we've already been transformed on the inside. We need to say, I already have this light. How can I let it shine? In fact, this is what we're going to be talking about at the beginning of the year here at HP Prez, is we're going to talk about how we can align our very own habits to fit with our transformed identities. How can we better let this light shine through us for all to see as a reflection of what Jesus has done? But before we get there, would you simply celebrate? Would you celebrate over the next few days, even if you just have one day off of work, even if it's by yourself or with other people, would you celebrate and hold fast to this truth that you are a transformed person? That you are a treasure to God. We can celebrate that because of what Jesus has done, we are a different people. And even as this is going through your mind, if you're thinking, I don't quite know if I'm transformed. I don't really know if I've accepted this free gift that God offers us that is salvation. I encourage you simply to talk to someone. Whether that's a pastor or a friend or a family member, just simply ask them, what could this look like in my life? Because if I'm honest, I don't always feel transformed. I don't always feel made new. But friends, this is the promise, the anchor that we root ourselves in, that not because of what we've done, because of what Jesus has done, this is the life that we now live. Amen? Amen. Will you join me in prayer? Father God, we are thankful that you gave Jesus the ability to save and deliver us from our sins. We thank you that you stayed true to your promises, even when your people were doubting, and even today when we doubt that you are there, God, you are true to your promise. And even a truth like this, that we are transformed, sometimes we confess that it's difficult to feel that. Sometimes we don't feel transformed. We don't feel like we are near you. But God, we also trust that it's not just about how we feel or think, it's about what you have done. And God, as we continue in this Christmastide season, would you give us moments to rejoice and to celebrate, whether that's with friends and family or colleagues, or whether that's by ourselves. Would you give us the space to rejoice and be thankful? And God, ultimately, we point the finger back to you as the Messiah does as well, knowing that our salvation is rest assured in you and you alone. And it is because of what you have done for us that we get to stand before you holy and blameless, wearing white. God, we pray all of these things in your mighty name, knowing who you are, resting our truth in you, knowing that our faith is not in a religion, but in a person. God, we are just thankful. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message, and we look forward to connecting with you in person soon. Each week, we study God's word together on Sundays at 8:15, 9:30, and 11 a.m. You can go to hbprez.org/Sundays to plan your next visit and stay updated on our current sermon series. God bless, and we'll see you next time.